How many are glad Noah's is real in here today? And I tell you what, it's God intended. It's God intended. It's God intended. I want you to go with me to the 51st Psalm, verse 12. Preachers, don't panic. I'm going to start there, and then I'm going to the 40th Psalm, I promise. But I want to remind you of something. In choir, I want to thank you all because you all have already preached well today. Preached well today. Okay, preached well today. We are, and I just want to remind you this because I think we forget in the midst of Bad News Alley all week long. How many of y'all just get bad news all week long? I mean, it's just like it's one thing after another. And let me tell you what, if you listen to the world, you'll be convinced that everything's going to hell. Now, let me tell you why. In the world, it is. And see, that's what we forget. The world, that we have made, will not last. Now, I know this disappoints many of you who hold deeply to humanism and believe that all we have created will last forever. I encourage you to at least log on to the internet and look at some pictures of great civilizations with great intellectuals, wonderful technology, and you can view the ruins of those great civilizations. What we build will not hold up. But what God has built in us is forever. Amen. And it's just so hard for us to understand forever. How many of y'all get forever? I don't either. Now, how many of y'all, when something bad happens, it seems like forever? How many of y'all have ever said this? It's not going to get better. It's never going to get better. It can't improve. And when we start talking like that, you know what we do? We lose the joy of our destiny. We lose the joy of our destiny. In church, we're going to spend the whole month of November. And I hope you'll be here every Sunday because there are four messages that are coming from the 40th Psalm in this month of preaching in November through the whole Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I want us to catch an attitude that exudes gratitude to God. And so I want to go to Psalm 51:12 because this is what we need to do sometimes. We must be renewed. I'll show you. Things have to be renewed. Your cell phone. How many of y'all have a cell phone? That's why your life's difficult. You throw that. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you, one charge on your cell phone and it lasts always? Or what are you constantly doing with your cell phone? Recharging it or renewing it? Renewing its function. At the end of the day, you gotta plug it in and it has to be recharged with power. Well, you know what? Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time two or more are gathered, every time we come together in the name of the Lord, there ought to be a recharge, which would be this, a refocus, a re-understanding of the things that we have in God. We forget during the week because the enemy has one plan. Now, here's what I want you all to know. I want you all to know the truth. How many of y'all want to get some truth in you today? I mean, you want to receive the truth. Here's what I want you to know. The devil cannot have your destiny. And I want you all to wake up to this. I know you've been polluted. Some of y'all probably ran around one of them yin and yang signs on your neck, you know, when that was cool. And you think, you live under the philosophy for every good thing, there's got to be a bad thing. Well, no, that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is that God has created it all, that He is the Lord of all things, that He is the King of kings. And what you have in the midst of that is a little speck of evil. And one day that's going to be dissolved. But that little speck of evil only has one power over those of you who believe, and that is to persuade you that what you see is forever. That what you're experiencing is forever. And it's not forever. It's for a moment, but it's not for what? Here's the greatest thing I know about humanity. It changes. Jack, have you been the same forever? No, and your forever's getting longer. Have you noticed that? How many of y'all in here, you're not getting old, it's just your forever's getting longer. How many of y'all, your forever's getting longer? And there ought to be a sense of renewal. And I want to challenge you, church, be grateful for what God has done. Be grateful for who you are in the kingdom of God. And be grateful for those that are around you in the kingdom of God. And I'm really going to challenge us as a church to begin to be appreciative, to begin to be praiseworthy, to begin to be encouraging to each other. These are all concepts, truths, principles in the First Testament and the Second Testament. They're the way that God wants us to live. And you know what? If you live in America, it's real easy to become thankless. Really what's happened to us, check this concept out. We have so much, we don't know what we have. We have so much, we don't even know what we have. If you really look at your life, if you spent your life, most of your life, griping about what you don't have, you're probably a miserable person right now. And your misery did not come from God. It came from you allowing the devil to guide your perspective and miss what God was doing. I have found that most miserable people are miserable because they have made themselves God. They say things like this to other people. I think. Nobody cares what you think. I feel. Nobody cares what you feel. I think it ought to be. Well, that's you. If you really want to live life, you say, wait a minute, what's God think about this? What does God feel about this? And where is God's consideration in this? And I guarantee you, you won't say what you were going to say. Because God looks at it forever, and we only look at the moment. May this happen to Hillview Heights Church in the month of November. For those of you that pray without ceasing, I want you to pray without ceasing on this cause. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Not my salvation, your salvation. Note that. Your salvation, God. Restore the joy of what you're doing. I want to start here. Anybody here glad to know that all of your sin is forgiven? Not some of your sin, all of your sin. How many of y'all sinned this week? How many of y'all sinned and liked it this week? God's getting that out of you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me, this is a prayer that changes our lives, and grant me a willing spirit. If you want that marriage to go with zing, you got to have a willing what? If you want your business to make it through these times, you got to have a what? Y'all got soft on that one. You got to have a what? Yeah. Don't listen to Mad Money all the time. He doesn't know everything. CNN doesn't know everything. None of us know everything. Y'all got it? None of us know everything. But guess what? Grant to me a willing spirit to understand my destiny in difficult times. Will that work? Restore. Renew, refresh, recharge in me the understanding of who you have made me to be, God. We must understand this. We did not make our salvation. God gave us His salvation. We did not create God. God created us. We did not go to God for mercy. God sent mercy in the baby named Jesus. God has given, may we rejoice. How many of y'all understand that? God has given, may we what? Rejoice. You say, well, Pastor, what happens when bad things happen to me? Write this down. If you live, bad things will happen to you. Write that down. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. The reason y'all are upset is because you've heard a bunch of these weak preachers tell you if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Jerry, they lied. That is unscriptural. God never said anything like that. Here's what He said. I will save you in the muck of life. But there will be some muck at times. Amen? And God pulls us out. Anybody glad of that? Anybody glad to know that one day, watch this, I can only imagine how God does it. I don't know exactly how God saves us, but I know that He saves us. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? You know, I don't know how my children grew up, but I knew they grew up. I don't know how microwaves work, but I use them. Spell check is still a deep mystery in my life, but I love it. I know my God will. How many of y'all are that far along? I know God will. Now, when you know God will, you'll want to share what he's doing. When you know God will, God will. I won't, but what? God will. I've had to tell Elizabeth that a couple times. I won't do it, but God will do it in me. I won't straighten up, but God will straighten up. What does it say there, D? Restore unto me your salvation. And grant me a willing what? Spirit. Now, with that in mind, we'll give you three things out of Psalm 40. How many of y'all ready to get thankful? I'm going to push you now. Y'all all right? Don't skip November. I know. Now, listen. If you're a grumpy person, you need to be here in November. So I expect all y'all here, okay? How many of y'all have ever gripe? I mean, just, I can gripe. I can complain. I can whine at times. I'm being honest. I do it. How many of y'all do it? You know, it doesn't go my way. I'm like, yeah. And I start mumbling. The older I get, the more I start mumbling like an old man. How many of y'all realize old men, they don't say words when they grumble. When they get old, just, speaking tongues. You know, somebody asks a question, what do you think about that pop? Now, everybody knows what that means. You know, what do you think I ought to do here? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But today I want us to understand we have been called and made to be thankful. So start here, Psalm 40. It's not going to go our way. It's not going to go our way. Can you tell your neighbor, it's not going to go your way? Just go tell me, it's not going to go your way. Now watch. Now watch this. And tell them this. Then tell them this. Oh, see, y'all are nervous now. You go, man, what's a brother leading me through this morning? Chuck, you enjoyed that, didn't you? That is the first time when you're in Ann's marriage that you told her it's not going to go her way. Isn't that cool? Hold on, Spirit's here today. It's big. It's not going to go your way. It's not going to go my way. No, tell them, it's not going to go your way. Now watch, here's why. It will go God's way. Thank God. How many of y'all are glad to know? You will go God's way because he believes you. In spite of where you are right now, I want you to see the power in this. In spite of where you are right now, it will go God's way. That's what we can be thankful of. God will make me eventually if I stay willing and stay with him. And here's the good news. He's not leaving us. Here's the great news in this house. God will not leave us. We can't run him off. Government can't run him off. You can't vote him out. You can't put him up. You can't argue him. You can't debate him. God, you can't even kill him. What does God do when you kill him? Comes back. I mean, you can be all violent and look at you and say, I'm going to shoot you. He said, I'll be back in 3 days. You better get a bigger gun. In fact, you don't have enough gun to eliminate my presence. You can't do it. I'm going to restore your what? Salvation. Bugsy, can you believe that's in you? A boy from Franklin, all of that is in you. Now, Bugsy, don't go Monday morning and say, shoot me, I'll be back in 3 days. Because you'll be back, but it may be longer than 3 days. Okay, be careful with that, taking that literally. But Jesus can say that. Look at here. Psalm 40, reminders of the faith. Be thankful, be praiseworthy, be aware that God has saved us. First he says this, Lord, verse 1, Psalm 40, I wait patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now guys, listen, in difficult times, you got to wait what? Patiently. Now, this goes into your belief system. When you believe God is in charge, you will not relax, but you will be convinced God will work it out. That doesn't mean you stop doing things. It means you do things in the anticipation that God is going to bless them in the end. Make sense? If you've lost a job, guess what? Wait. Now, wait. I wait on the Lord doesn't mean I sit on the couch. It means I put resumes in. It means I work toward it. It means I stop and say, hey, God, I have no idea how many days I got left here on the earth, but what do you want me to do with those days? I waited patiently because here's what's going to happen. God will move. God will move. Look what he says in the 40th Psalm. He turned to me and heard my cry. First thing of thanks. First thing of thanks. God hears us. How many of y'all glad to know? God hears us. God hears us. He heard my what?
Cry.
I want you to know at the deepest, darkest moments of the human experience, God hears our cry. He'll hear a cry. You know that's true. How many of you all have heard a cry of your child before? What did you do? You immediately what? Laura, there's mom. What'd you do? Immediately. You didn't have to go to a training seminar on how to handle a crying baby, did you? At the moment of that cry, you know why? Because we are created in the image of God. We're created in the image of God. We react naturally like our Creator to some things if we just react. We'll immediately go to that cry. Why? God hears our cry. I want you all to think about this week. God hears our cry. God knows where we hurt, and God will engage the places that we hurt. We ought to give Him thanks for that. So the great hope is, when people are hurting, is that people are crying today. Did you realize that? Jim Britt, I believe this is a moment of history where people are crying and don't even know what they're crying for. Guess what they're really crying for? To know God. They want to know God. But they cried out to the church, and the church has too many hot tubs and too many gymnasiums and too much entertainment for them to hear the salvation of God. The church has gotten in every business but the business God called it to be in. And that is to make sure you know the salvation of the Lord. That is the number one purpose of a church, is that people might know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that Jesus will hear our cry, that when we cry out and say, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me, the salvation of God Almighty will enter into a human life, forgive them of all of their sin, all their corruption, all their waywardness, and resurrect them, renew them, revitalize them. Have I got enough going there? Re-energize them, re-empower them toward heaven. I can only imagine. But that is what stirred up in a church. So I want us to get two things from there. That we need to wait patiently. Okay? I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all. Can I thank you all for something? We're going to be talking about thanks. I thank you for being a great church. You know what I've not heard about as the pastor of this church? This building. That shows that you all are a congregation that really gets it. You at Hillview really understand that building is a vehicle. And even though it's brand new, I believe there's enough of you that are convinced that understand when there's a new heaven and new earth, it won't be here. But you will. You're really beginning to get it. You will be forever. What you see now will not be forever. But who you sit by now in Jesus Christ will be forever. See the difference? And what have we tended to do? We get hung up on what we can see instead of who sees us. Jesus. Man, I want to thank you. Guess what? I don't know if it's been delayed or not. People have been talking. Is your building finished on time? I said, yeah. I said, when it's done. I had a pastor say, I was talking to another pastor. He said, well, I really pushed the contractor. I said, boy, that's really a great witness. I said, how many times in the Bible does the Bible teach patience? You know when we'll go in there? When it's done, it's time to go in there. What difference does 60 days make, 30 days make, a year make in comparison to eternity? Our objective is not to see how fast we can get moved in, but it's when we get moved in to see as many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. I pray that thousands, I pray that millions, I pray that trillions, and soon we'll be hearing these numbers, trillions, zillions, will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ there. That's what it's about. Thank you all for giving. Thank you all for loving. And thank you all for not asking. Isn't it beautiful to be in a church? People ask me, what color is the carpet? I have no idea. I don't know. It's carpet. I don't care about the carpet. I care that there's going to be little bitty human beings with disheveled hair and their shirt tails hanging out because we don't tuck them in anymore. And I'm glad that style came in, especially when I hit midlife. That's a great time for that to come in. And they're going to be full of life, patiently waiting for God to do something extraordinary in their life, and that is save them and destine them to eternity. I want you to know, be thankful. Thank you for waiting patiently. I wait patiently on the Lord. Here's what I want you to know. We will get to heaven because God said so. Not because we deserve so, but because God said so. Now I want us to know, secondly, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and set my feet on a rock. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from. I don't know about you, but I came out of a slimy pit. I've been in the mud and the mire. And the only way I could get out of the slimy pit in the mud and the mire is Jesus picked my feet up. No pastor picked me up. No church picked me up. No song picked me up. Everything that was an expression of Jesus was powerless to get me out of the miry clay. The only thing that will get you out of the miry clay, the slimy pit, is a man who was God, who is forever, who is crucified, who is resurrected, who is the forgiver, who is the glory. Jesus will remove you from that pit. Amen. Come on, church. How many of you believe that? That is the God of our salvation. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be good. You see, I'm afraid at Hillview, listen, we're growing old. That's okay. I don't know about y'all, I'm glad for it. Amen? Personally, I didn't think I'd be preaching this long. I just never thought I'd live this long. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have. And so I don't look at how long am I going to live. I think that's a bad question. How long am I going to live? That's not the question. How are you going to live? Are you going to live in a slimy pit in the miry clay? Or are you going to let an almighty God pick you up? And what does the psalmist say here? And set your feet on what? That's my favorite hymn. My favorite hymn in the church. All else is sinking sand. He placed my feet upon a rock which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How many of y'all remember that? I remember that. There was only three hymns that had a beat, and that was one of the three. You know? But man, what a testimony. All other ground is what? Now, when I was a kid down at First Baptist singing that song, I had no idea what that meant. Because I got to be honest, I was attracted by the sinking sand. Anybody here attracted by the sinking sand? It's going to sink, but you're attracted to it? Here's what I want you to know. Shiny stuff will not save you. And I grew up in America, and guess what? It's real easy to walk right over there in that sinking sand, because guess what the sand will do? It will glisten, and that is the glistening of its slime and not its glory. Be careful. He'll get you out, though. Amen? I hope that's a message you can be thankful about. Every time, I believe this, every time you get with other believers, you ought to be thankful of your salvation. I mention it every time I preach. I mention it every time I teach. I mention it every day because that's the point. It's the point. It's the point. I think we need to come back occasionally and say, what's the point? I'm going to tell you right now, if all we were at Hillview was a big crowd with some cool music in a fancy building and nobody was getting saved and nobody was getting out of the slimy pit and everybody was just like one big Barney clan, you know, holding hands, being one big friends, we have missed the point of the Bible. We have missed the entire point of the Bible. You got to get out of the slimy pit. You got to get it out of the miry clay. There's only one way to do it. There is a Jesus who will reach His hand down and He will pull you out. Cry out and see if He won't hear you today. Cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I'm messed up. I'm undone. I'm stuck. He'll go, no problem. The clay is not as big as I am. The slime can never stick to me. I am your God. Wow, what a message. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the who? In the Lord. Lord, renew the joy of our what? Did you get anything today? All right, we're going to start a spirit of thanks. Okay, 2 months here. In January, then we're going to talk about what we're going to do and really energizing the next moment of Hillview, and that's reaching kids. We're going to join with other churches across this association. That's starting to happen. Oh, I get chill bumps. I got to tell you the vision. Guess what? I believe in the name of Jesus, we're going to see over 1,000 baptisms in this association for the first time in its history. Jerry, for the first time in its history, that should be happening. There's 85,000 unchurched people here in Warren County. Have I told you all that yet? Have I told you all that yet? Freddie, how many? I haven't counted Morgantown, so add about 20 down there, all right? And if we slide over Cecil to old Howell County, we'll pick up 25 more. They're all around you. Amen? They're not ugly. They're not different than you. Just a lot of them in the slimy pit. That's the only difference. I was doing a conference one time, and we were dealing with people who were in correction facilities. And I was with these pastors, and they kept saying, well, those people. How many of you ever heard people talk like that? Well, those people. And finally, halfway through, I called time out. And I said, pastors, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Those people. Those are we the people. And really, some of their stories, the only difference between them and me is they got caught. Now, here's what I want to tell you about salvation. Brooks, everybody going to get caught. Because Jesus knows what everybody's done. He knows what's done in secret. He knows what's done in public. He knows, watch this, and here's how far Jesus goes. He knows your motive even when you're pretending to be good. You know what I mean? He knows the detail of our makeup. And guess what He says? I am the rock of your salvation. I am willing to save you. I'm willing to cleanse you. I'm willing to set your feet on a what, Don? A rock. How many of y'all need to be on a rock? How many of y'all been swishing in the slime? And so let me tell you some things to do this week. Be thankful and go back to the joy of your salvation. How many of y'all be willing to try it for 5 days? I sound like an infomercial here. Whenever you want to complain, remember your salvation. And see what happens this week. Okay, now really try it. Don't just come to church and be all absorbed. Merle, guess what? You've stepped up a little more in leadership, haven't you? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? How many of y'all like working with the public? If you work with the public, you will encounter slime. Because not everybody's out in a slimy pit. And guess what slimy pit people like to do? Barry, guess what they like to do? They got all this slime on them, you know, and they say, Pooh, let me give you some of my slime. How many of y'all got some friends like that?
Oh, yeah.
How many of y'all got some friends when you're in a good mood, you just know they're going to show up? Because they're there to make sure you know the world's going to hell. Any of y'all got people like that? I want to encourage you to be the good news bunch. You know, our economy's going to hell. Anyway, I hear people all the time say, well, Pastor Harris, you don't know the dollar's going to be useless. I say, great, we'll use marbles. Well, you don't watch this, because here's what I know. This world will not last. And the reason people are so upset about this world crumbling is they've made it their God and they've lived long enough to watch their God die in front of their eyes. Y'all remember when that stock market hit low? What was everybody doing? I've never seen any of y'all that upset over people not being saved in this city.
Watch this. Even Hillview is as moderately aggressive as it is. Is that a good phrase there? Said we're moderately aggressive. But if I hadn't seen anybody come out of Hillview at 8 o'clock going, the balcony's empty and we got 85,000 unchurched people here. What am I doing to make sure it's full? I hadn't heard that here. I've never heard anybody come out of the parking lot, man, I lost my job. I can't tithe as well as I used to do. Never heard that being a concern. What if that was the church of Jesus Christ? Timmy Young, what if that was the attitude of those who follow Christ? I bet I'd be talking about 45,000 unchurched. I bet I'd be talking about 25,000 unchurched. I bet I'd be talking about 10,000 unchurched pretty soon. I bet I'd be talking about opening up, where the Franklin truck stop used to be. We'd have to open up another church to get Franklin and eventually just slide on into Nashville. If that was truly our attitude. So I'm going to give you a new attitude. Be thankful God's pulled you out, but be thankful that He'll pull somebody else out too. Amen? Be thankful you set your feet on a new destiny. You're headed to heaven. Be grateful over that. And know this. God will. God what?
Will.
That's enough. God will. God will. Prevail. May we thank Him. May we praise Him. May we honor Him. So in the life of our church, I really want you to know what the offering is. It's the moment of thanks. Thank you, God. It's a gratitude moment. It's a thank moment. It's a praise moment. That's all it is. It's what it really is. You know why God asked for 10%? It's really a simple principle. So we wouldn't think that would make life happen. That's really what that's all about. Because if you want to hold to all of it, eventually you'll believe in it. And eventually it'll fail you. How many of y'all found whatever you create and whatever you hold on to usually doesn't hold up like you thought it was going to? Anybody else had that experience? Everything I think of, I don't even think about vacations anymore. I used to ruin, just Elizabeth would tell you, I used to just wipe out a vacation, didn't I, honey? Because my mind was better than reality. How many of y'all, your mind's better than reality? My fantasy was better than its reality because I used to look at those brochures and I thought they were real. How many of y'all have ever seen a brochure of a place you were going? When you got there, it wasn't half of what the brochure was. Any of y'all had that moment in life? Well, here's what I want you to know about heaven. Heaven, God has sent us a sneak preview in Jesus. And our little minds, our beings, our understanding, our experience cannot even comprehend where we are going to be set. He has set our feet on a solid rock. Now let's live through it. Wait patiently. God will. And let's really see some people come to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you believe what I told you this morning, go ahead and stand up. Now, if you don't believe, just go ahead and stand up anyway. If you just refuse to stand up, God bless you. How many of y'all thank you? How many of y'all thank God you can stand up? You thank God, you thank God that you're still here. I mean, we got to appreciate these things. Okay? I want to let you know something. Last week I told you we had some people lost loved ones. This week we had the same thing go on. This week we had a 25-year-old young man that was out mowing a yard and a tree fell on him and killed him. Y'all think I'd make his step up right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky? I hope you knew Jesus, don't you? Now it gets this real. I want to give you the thanks. God has saved you. If you're saved, you're okay, but make sure your neighbor is too. Okay? Make sure the person that lives two blocks from you is. Make sure the person that carpools with you is. Make sure the person that works by you on the side of the line or those employees that God has put under you, that they know Jesus will do what? Get them out of that miry clay and set their feet on a place called heaven. Amen? The rock of our salvation. Wow. So I'm going to give you an invitation. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know He wants to save you today. You know right now, when I was preaching, when we were singing, there was something going on inside of you going, that's you. Hello? That's you. You know what I'm talking about. I want to come into your life, says Jesus, says the Holy Spirit. Well, why not today say, you know what, Holy Spirit? I really do believe Jesus is for real. I know I've sinned and I know God will forgive. And I'm asking Jesus to come into my life because I know when He comes into my life, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be saved and I'm going to heaven. Boom. You say, how do you know, preacher? I've never seen God lie. Have you, Perry? I've seen a lot of other folk lie. I've seen a lot of folk that said they don't lie as they were telling me they don't lie. Did y'all get that? But I've never seen God lie. God will not lie. He says salvation was created for humans. Looks like we're all qualified. Y'all pray with me. We're going to have a moment at the altar. Would you do something for me? Would you come and pray for people you know that are unchurched right now? They're disconnected. I want you to pray. You know how they get saved? Only God can draw them. How many of y'all are praying that God draw my neighborhood? God draw my school. God draw my friends. We got to start praying. It's not going to happen without prayer, my friends. It's not what, ain't no plan. It's prayer. I wait for the Lord to do something. And God's doing great things now. But you know what? I think we're going to see even greater things. What do y'all think? Thank y'all for being here. Thank you for going to Bible study. You know, I just have a feeling some of you are going to go to Bible study today. It's never been. Some of y'all going to Shoney's, but some of y'all going. I tell you what, we're fixing to send Pastor Jeff over there to Shoney's at 10 o'clock. And he's going to have a Bible study for the whole restaurant. Y'all ready? Let's pray. Lord, there are people here that need to come to be baptized today. There are people here today, Lord, that for the first time need to come because the Spirit's drawing them. And they need to come and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior forever and ever. They need to have their feet set up on a rock. There's some of us here today, God, the joy of our salvation needs to be renewed. Just the joy of living in Christ needs to be renewed. Dear Jesus, we apologize. We just truly do apologize. You have given us more than enough resources. You have given us more than enough personal income. You have given us enough, Lord, especially when we look at the whole world. But yet, instead of praising You and giving to You and moving forth Your kingdom, God, we just honestly say, we've asked for more and we already had enough. So God, forgive us for that. Forgive us. God, forgive us for complaining where we should have been praising. God, forgive us. And so God, I ask right now at this service, in this moment, at this altar, You would renew the joy of our salvation. How many of y'all would agree with that prayer right now? That just those in this room, at this altar, at this moment, believe that the joy of our salvation would be renewed. And you know what it said God does? He puts a song in our mouth. A new what? Song. A hymn, an understanding of His truth that has a tune. So I invite you to come and pray. I invite you right now. There are going to be people saved. There are going to be people who have never been baptized. They're going to come and say, you know what, Pastor? I believe in Jesus. I know He saved me. I'm going to step up and be obedient to baptism. This altar's open. You come right now and let God just breathe into you, renew you, love you. Come on, church. I thank God for you. Come on. Fill the altars up. We'll kick the chairs back. We can put them back up. Everything's free here. Everything's the spirit of freedom. Come on. Let God work. Let God work.